want to make sure we're talking about the same thing before I say, yes, I agreed. I know I didn't agree.
Fewer people each week are filing for unemployment claims, which is a good sign.
Police set up barricades about a block from the New York Stock Exchange.
A new regulation proposed by Congress could put pizza in the food pyramid as a vegetable.
All right, that's this week's conversations. More gaffes from the Kane train. Occupy Wall Street gets cleared out and yet returns. And pizza, now a vegetable, at least if you're in Congress. We're going to take a look at all of it with our friends this morning. Jeff Yang returns. He writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's politics site, itsafreecountry.org. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Farai Chidea, of course, journalist, blogger at Farai.com. Farai, good morning.
Morning.
And Ron Christie, of course, Republican political strategist, CEO of Christie Strategies, and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Ron, let's start with you. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
All right, so we've got gaffes coming from not only Rick Perry, but now Herman Cain again. And one has to wonder what's going on with our GOP candidates. There doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm before, but there's also not a lot of respect.
Well, I think the GOP field is going to be just fine. And we're in the vetting process. Candidates are getting to know not only the constituents they hope to represent, but voters are getting the chance to get to know them a little bit better. My problem with Herman Cain is, frankly, it seems to me, while he's been a very successful businessman, he doesn't seem like he's ready for prime time on the national stage. He's running for president of the United States. He's making these gaffes, and voters are looking at him and saying, "You want to be president? Why don't you run for city council first?"
Well, Farai, I got to ask you, do you agree with Ron? This is Herman Cain's problem, or is this a problem for the GOP brand?
Well, you know, I think the GOP will sort it out, but it's kind of like there's an arranged marriage, which is Romney. And, you know, it's like the bride, the GOP, voting population is like really trying to go on a lot of dates before the arranged marriage. And it's like it's just still going to be the arranged marriage, but it's like we're going to have to date as fast as we can and we don't really care who it is. That's kind of what's happening, I think.
Although, Jeff Yang, it looks as though Newt Gingrich is sort of crashing the party here in terms of this marriage. I mean, I cannot believe it. I myself wouldn't have believed if you told me Newt Gingrich should be the front runner at this point.
I still can't believe it, actually. I mean, you know, on some level, you got to wonder, even if the GOP brand will eventually recover from this, we are at a position where, you know, that whole saying about fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, fool me seven or eight times. I mean, we're getting down to, scraping the edges of the container, if not the bottom of the barrel, as far as people's expectations around who can actually take on Obama. And I can't imagine that there aren't people taking a very deep look at themselves right now on the GOP side, wondering what has gotten the party to this level.
Varon, are GOP voters taking a deep look at themselves?
I think we are. I mean, there's no question that while there seems to be discord about who's going to be our eventual nominee, I think there's one thing that we're unanimous in, and that we want to find the candidate who will make sure that, you know, frankly, the president occupant of the Oval Office is a one-term president. And once we find that nominee and coalesce around that nominee, I think the race is going to be much tighter, and all of the perceived, you know, head-wringing and agony among the GOP will be unified in a singular purpose to defeat President Barack Obama.
That's Ron Christie, Republican political strategist. Farai, let me just hold on for 1 second and tell people that you're down in Buenos Aires in Brazil. Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com, joining us via Skype. In Brazil, where everyone has a smile on their face because Brazil is a growing economy, unlike here in the U.S. Farai, can I tell you my favorite story of the day?
Yes.
It's Clinton going to Burma. Is that going to play like Nixon going to China as a campaign issue for President Obama being above the fray, sending the Secretary of State to Burma?
You know, I don't see it as such. I think that, and not necessarily for good reasons, and I am in Argentina, so yeah.
Right,
I would love to go to Brazil, but
right,
I'm in Argentina.
Exactly. Yeah. Argentina
and
is not as not as happy.
Lessons last night.
Right.
Yeah,
but I think that regarding Burma, the reality is you've obviously had a Nobel Prize winner who has been imprisoned in her own country. But at the same time, I think that, first of all, there's a question of whether or not there can be anything done from the U.S. side. And secondly, I think that also most Americans are so deeply entrenched in U.S. politics that this is but a blip on the screen, for better or worse.
All right. Well, let me ask Jeff Yang about what's been going on in New York here with Occupy Wall Street. Obviously, the headlines were kind of fizzling out, weren't they, on the protests?
Well, you know, what was happening, I think, and this really speaks to a larger issue around how the media is treating Occupy Wall Street versus how it treated the Tea Party. Isn't so much the protests were petering out, but they were certainly getting a different kind of a frame. The narrative around Occupy Wall Street was getting more and more, and has been getting more and more negative. And the clearing out, actually, of Zuccotti Park by, you know, riot police with Klieg lights and so forth, in some ways, I mean, it actually could be a good thing for the movement in the sense that it gets the repeated image of people, you know, who are being described as squatters out of people's minds and more towards a time and as of yesterday, a day of action. And that can only be good. I mean, as I've been talking to friends, it's sort of like the slogan should be now, don't camp, organize. Let's do something else.
So maybe this will put him in a new direction. Ron Christie, what do you think? I mean, we spoke with Bob Henley of WNYC earlier, who said this is the largest number of people who are willing to be arrested since the Vietnam protests. Is it starting to look a little bit like the days of the 60s?
I don't think so, because I think the days of the 1960s were largely nonviolent protests. They were people who, frankly, were trying to bring power to the people. Now it seems like they're trying to bring violence to those who have a viable profession.
Hey, Ron, I guess you weren't in Chicago in 1968, eh?
Yeah.
No, I was still a year away from being born, John.
Well, there was some violence there.
Yeah, quite a bit, maybe perhaps more than going on right now. So, Ron, you don't see Occupy Wall Street as being a big election issue?
Oh, actually, quite to the contrary, Celeste, I do. I think that this is going to be a very big issue for the president and for several of the Democratic politicians who have embraced, at least at the earliest incarnations of this protest, the Occupy Wall Street movement. President Obama said, you know, he can sympathize and understand where these folks come from, as could I. But now I don't sympathize with people who are violent. I don't sympathize with people who are chanting at school children who are trying to make their way to school with their parents. And certainly I don't sympathize with people who are disrupting our very way and form of commerce, which is, of course, working for a living.
Well, you know, let me ask all of you, and Farai, let me go to you first. Probably not going to be an election issue, although it's an issue right now, is the question of whether or not pizza qualifies as a vegetable. I'm told that because in response to lobbyists from the potato lobby and the frozen pizza lobby, Congress has said French fries and pizza belong on the school lunch menu. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me of the Reagan era, you know, ketchup is a vegetable. The main thing is, like, in general, if you are going to set your diet based on what lobbyists tell you to do, you're going to be in deep trouble. That's the takeaway from that.
And not a lot of, you know, extraordinarily healthy people in Congress all the time. What do you think, Jeff Yang? Pizza, vegetable?
Well, yeah, the sad thing, of course, is that pizza actually kind of has been considered a vegetable for quite a while now. In fact,
Herman Cain says you're not a manly man unless you have meat on your
pizza. I can't imagine there's no pizza.
Yeah, this actually could very well be some sort of long last-ditch desperation move on the part of Cain to become relevant again.
But I don't think so.
I mean, the bill actually that was introduced was to preserve standards that had already been enacted that said that pizza with a certain amount of sauce on it, you know, would be considered a vegetable. And yes, the bill was supposed to change those standards to something a little bit crazy.
They were trying to make school lunches a little healthier, and this kind of turns the dial back.
Pizza seeds are a little tough, though.
Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for Wall Street Journal, blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country. Probably going to be first in line for the Twilight movie, right, Jeff? Farai today, I'm journalist and blogger at Farai.com. He's in Argentina. I don't know, Farai, if you're going to get to the premiere of a new Twilight movie. Ron Christie definitely has already got his tickets. Republican political strategist, CEO of Christie Strategies. Thanks to all three of you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Catch up on that or any conversation on our program. You can get the podcast, re-listen on demand. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.